The following message by Apostle Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, making Him known to others, and spreading the kingdom message around the world. Check out our website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be spread across the world.
Coming up today, Dr. Dana Carson will teach us that walking with God requires ridiculous faith.
This boy came out of a dead body, and God raised the dead genitalia to produce a living son. And just like God called him out of the dead one time, God could bring him back out of the dead another time. If God brought you out before, what makes you think He can't bring you out again?
Walking with God is a faith walk that defies logic and reason. For this reason, many people find themselves unwilling or unable to follow God. In today's message, Dr. Carson teaches us ridiculous faith, coming from Genesis 22, 1 through 19.
DCKM, Dana Carson, Kingdom Ministries.
God can only be known by revelation, not information. Thus, Jesus states to Peter when he asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He then tells him, as a sign of affirmation, "You're right. But you didn't get this from critical thinking." Y'all don't. Probability thinking. Sensory perception. You didn't get this from logical conclusions. He says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which out in heaven." He, apocalypse to, he revealed this to you. He uncovered this to you, which meant you would have never got this through the mind and through the intellect. You could have studied all my actions. You could have seen all of my miracles, but it still would not have gotten you to see that I am the incarnate God, God in the flesh. You would have never come through to that because you do not have within your finite, limited thinking the ability to think incarnation. So if you're trying to think up on God, it's an impossibility. Some of you that's trying to find God in your intellect, He ain't there. And you'll never find Him there. Where is He? He's in Revelation. Thus, the scriptures declare that no man can even call Christ Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If someone sits down and argues with you the existence of God and the reality of God, no matter how persuasive and impactful their arguments are, you will never come to know that Jesus is Lord except by the work of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit does not move upon your psyche and your spirit, you will never grasp the revelation of who Jesus is. However, before one is even placed in the position to call Him Lord, no man can call Him Lord except by the Holy Spirit, they must have faith. Faith has to be present before the Holy Spirit can tell you who He is. Thus, the Bible says that in the kingdom, we have spiritual senses that allows us to sense God. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's a spiritual sense, to hear. Now, you cannot say that Jesus is Lord before you hear the gospel. And then after you hear the gospel, then God has to release a measure of faith. Romans 12 and 3 says God has given every man a measure of faith. So God has to give you the supernatural ability to believe, which means then faith is not intellectual. Y'all not getting this today. So some of you are sitting around trying to have a relationship with a God you can figure out. And some of you have figured out this God, and that's the reason you don't have the real God. You have a fake one. Because in order to have the real God, you've got to have a supernatural encounter. So faith comes by hearing, which means, Elder Ford, which means then faith is not a property of the intellect. Faith cannot be produced through analysis. Faith must come through hearing. So faith has to come from outside of you. You know, so everybody always talks about how much faith they have. Well, that's not biblical faith. That's optimism. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing being by the word of God. See, so God uses the senses. So the Bible says, but he uses spiritual senses. Faith comes by hearing, which is a sense. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Y'all don't like me. And so he says, taste and see that the Lord is good, which means conclusion comes after experience. Okay. Let me keep on. He says, let he that have an ear, hearing, let him hear what the Spirit says. It says, where there is no vision, sight, the people perished. You have to sense the hand of the Lord touching your life. Touch. These are all supernatural senses, not intellectual senses. Thus, walking with God requires that which goes beyond critical thinking, probability thinking, sensory perception, and logical conclusion. Some of you are going to logic yourself to hell. Walking with God is considered foolishness to them that are perishing. The cross nor the crown makes sense. But for those who believe, it is the power of God. See, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right unto man. Logic. But the ends of that logic is destruction. The Bible says that we are to trust in the Lord with what? All of our heart and what? Lean not what? To our own understanding. See, that's the problem with many of you. You understand. That's the problem. You understand. It's too logical. So he says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he will do what? He'll direct your path. God states that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. He states that many are the plans in the man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. God states to the prophet Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Remember, no matter what happens in life, God's got your back. No matter how ridiculous it seems. See, that's what freaks you out, because you're in predicaments and you can't figure out how God gonna get you out. Because it goes beyond your intellectual deduction and it moves into the area of ridiculous. That which lacks critical thought, probability thinking, and sensory perception. Thus, am I making sense up here? Come on, look to your neighbor and say, you're coming out. But let God do it his way. Let him do it his way. Come on, say, let him do it his way. Come on, say, let him do it his way. Come on, say, it's ridiculous, but let him do it. Come on, it ain't gonna enter your mind, but it's his way. You don't even see it coming, but it's coming. You don't even know it's there, but it's there. That's how he does it. He's ridiculous. Look to your neighbor and say, I serve a ridiculous God who's superior to my thought life. You gotta learn how to trust God when he makes no sense. You gotta learn how to follow God when you can't see him. See, that goes against all of the rules of logic and conclusion. Thus, ridiculous. Come on, tell somebody, say that's ridiculous. So what is ridiculous faith, Dr. Carson? Ridiculous faith is a faith that surpasses understanding. It is a faith that defies reason, critical thinking, probability, and natural senses. It defies them. Ridiculous faith is stepping out on the impossible by trusting God in his word. Ridiculous faith, I'm going to say this again, is trusting God for the impossible. Look to your neighbor and ask him, do you have any impossibles in your life? But you really need them to be possible? Look to your neighbor and say, all things are possible that are to those who believe. Come on, how many believers I have? The angel told them, Mary says, that which is impossible for man is possible with God. Thus our text places us in a context with Abraham, in which Abraham has matured through the first three stages of a four-stage process. He left his country, his family, his father's house, and he set out on an adventure with God to a place I will show you. Then he stayed connected with God through his ups and downs through life, and he trusted God even though he was going through. So he left, stepped out on God, and then he stayed connected with God even though he had disappointments in his life. So you've got to learn how to step out on God. And when you step out on God, you then got to learn how to battle through disappointment and discouragement, because you thought when you stepped out you was going to land on the promise, but you landed in chaos. Just because you take a leap of faith doesn't mean God's about to deliver right now. Are you hearing me? Some of you are going through a lot, but just because you're going through a lot, that doesn't mean that God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. Thus Abraham demonstrates that he can stay connected beyond the promise of the particles of sand by the seashore. And he endured till God gave them the encouragement of the stars in the sky. Then he went to his next phase where he trusted God beyond his mistakes and old age and produced the child Isaac, the child of promise Isaac. His third stage, he gets over Ishmael. He gets over a body good as dead, a woman's womb dead. He gets over that and gets busy working with God to bring the promise to pass. What a powerful act of faith. God comes to you and tells you your Ishmael is not your promise. That's your mistake. That's your impatience. That's your lack of faith. But now, here I come. Now is promise time. And when he comes at promise time, he's right on time. It's just in time faith. But he's 100 years old. Sarah's 90, going through the menopause and every pause she can have. And listen, and then now God says, I need y'all to go up in that bedroom and make some things happen. And Abram brought that to pass. And then when Isaac was about 3 years old, Sarah saw Ishmael playing with him. And bitterness arose in her. And she said, get that heifer out of our house and that bastard son. And Abram was betwixt. And he went to the Lord and said, Lord, what am I to do with this mess? He says, how did you get in it? He said, I listened to Sarah. He said, well, same when you got in it, get out of it. Listen to her again. Because I ain't had nothing in there. My name is Jess and I ain't in this mess. So now, God promises him, though, I'm going to take care of Ishmael. I got him. Now you go work on the promise. Now you only have Isaac, your only son. Now God says, take Isaac, your son, your only son, and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you. I'm 102 now. 102, 103. I got a promise of sand and stars. I only got one son. And the other son I had, you made me send him out to the wilderness. I couldn't find him now if I wanted to. So I only have, this is my hope. This is my legacy. This is my posterity. This is my future. This is my everything. He says, I know that's your everything. It's your only begotten. No. Your only begotten son. So who was Ishmael? He wasn't yours. He was your mistake. He wasn't a legitimate son. He was illegitimate. Every time I talk to you, I talk to you about this boy here, the miracle boy, the one that you had nothing to do with. Now take him. He's old enough now. Take him and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, a burnt offering, of all the offerings, was an offering where the sacrifice was fully consumed. So God said, take him and burn him all the way up to me. And it'll be a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. So God, you gave him to me just so I had to give him back? What does that say about God and the things you have? See, some of us, God gives us things and it changes our walk. Because God gives us jobs, gives us homes, gives us cars, gives us education. Then all of a sudden, you can't give to God what you used to give anymore because you're too busy now preserving your Isaac. And I don't believe God would have given this to me and then take it away. Well, see, that's why you need to read the Bible. So that you can kind of get a sense of the kind of illogical, ridiculous things God does. So God says, this is your only boy, and the sand and the stars are in him, but kill him. And he says, the Bible says, Abram took Isaac and two of his servants, and they mounted donkeys and left early in the morning to the mountain God would show him. And then the Bible says on the third day, everybody say on the third day, he saw the mountain. He saw the mountain. Come on, somebody say on the third day, he saw the mountain. So he then takes his only son to be the burnt offering. His only son. So now, then he splits the wood, verse 3. It's because he's getting it ready for the sacrifice. These are logical steps for a sacrifice. He stated to the young men before he left, stay here with the donkeys, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will return. Look to your neighbor and say, that's ridiculous faith. Now, see, now you start understanding why Abram is the father of faith. Now, Abram got in his mind, I'm going to kill this boy, but some kind of way, we coming back. Oh, see, if you could ever trust God with your stuff, look to your neighbor and say, you'd come back. Ooh. Listen, so then it says, that's verse 5. Then it says in verse 6, it says, he took the wood, laid it on Isaac, took the fire in his hand, which is a fire stone, and the fire stone had the life of about 3 days. So he had the fire in his hand, the fire stone, and he had a knife. He had a mechanism in which you could kill with. And the two went up together. He didn't pull him up. Bring your boom up. He didn't pull him up. They went up together. Now, what happened? Isaac started critically thinking. Isaac started considering probabilities. Isaac started considering sensory perception. Isaac made a logical conclusion. So he says, my father, etc. exclamation mark. Because I done drawn a conclusion up in this thing. I know how you feel about God. I know what you would do when the Lord says, do it, my Father. He says, look, there is the fire. Look, there is the wood. Somebody say, critically think, Isaac. Critically think. Critically think, because you're about to be in something. Then he says, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now this boy is in critical thought. Now he's old enough to carry wood, and he's old enough to critically think, and he understands what he didn't understand at first until he identified the situation. He researched the facts. Y'all don't like me. And then he identified his biases. Y'all. Then he made his inference. Y'all don't like me now. And then he said his, you're finna kill me. My daddy's finna kill me. And then Abram responded in verse 8 to Isaac's critical thinking, probability thinking, his sensory perception, and his logical conclusions. Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for burnt offering. That's ridiculous. Because right now, God has said, offer to me your only son, and now we're here at the mountain with the wood and the fire, and now you saying that the sacrifice is going to take place, but God's going to provide his own sacrifice. See, this goes beyond critical thinking. See, so now he sees something Isaac cannot see. Y'all don't like me. See, he sees something beyond the intellect. And so then it says, he bound, the next verse said, he bound Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, look to your neighbor and say, it's ridiculous faith in the midst of critical thinking. So Isaac is bound by his feet and his arms, and he's laid on a wooden altar. And Abraham, the next verse says, stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So in the mind of Abraham, Isaac was already dead. But also in the mind of Abraham was Isaac was already resurrected. Because if I kill him, God's going to bring him back to life. Because he calls things that were dead as though they were alive. He calls things that are not as though they were until they are. Abram said, if I kill this boy, God will bring him back to life. So what if you lose it? Cannot God bring it back? So what if they take it? God can't give it to you again? See, ridiculous faith says you can take it, but God can give it back. It can be of resurrection. This boy came out of a dead body. And God raised the dead genitalia to produce a living son. And just like God called him out of the dead one time, God could bring him back out of the dead another time. If God brought you out before, what makes you think he can't bring you out again? Ridiculous, ridiculous. Church, somebody said ridiculous, ridiculous. Yeah, come on. Come on, say it like you mean it. Ridiculous, ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why I'm believing, but God told me it was going to happen. I ain't got no traces. I don't have anything that shows me it's about to happen. I can't prove it to you. I can't show it to you. I can't sense it. I can't smell it. I can't touch it. I can't even see it. I just know it's going to happen. How can you believe in something you cannot see? Tell somebody, it's because I've got ridiculous faith.
To hear this message in its entirety, visit drdanacarson.org and search for Ridiculous Faith. If you would like to go even further in your understanding of the kingdom of God, we invite you to enroll in the online Kingdom Bible University. Check this out.
Are you ready to experience a greater dimension to God? The Kingdom Bible University was birthed to meet the needs of today's kingdom believers that have busy lives with family, career, and ministry. At KBU, we desire to see you fulfill your kingdom mandate and live to your Christ-centered full potential. Through KBU, you can achieve the kingdom knowledge and empowerment of the Bible that will enhance your spiritual life. KBU is your right choice for a kingdom education that is affordable, reliable, and accessible just for you. Find more information about KBU at KingdomBibleUniversity.com. And watch God transform your life one kingdom learning opportunity at a time.
Before we end this broadcast, we would like to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. Please repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now, acknowledging that I am a sinner and in need of your grace. Save me, Lord. Make me clean. All that I am, all that I have, I give to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you said this prayer, we celebrate with you. We invite you to join online to further your kingdom journey at www.therockwoi.com and click on Join Online. We would love to assist you through your new kingdom life.
The preceding message by Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, make him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Check out his website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice. Become a DCKM Partner today and make a difference in the world around you at www.drdanacarson.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dana Carson, senior leader at The Rock, WOI, 9321 Edgebrook, Houston, Texas. I want to take this time to invite you to come worship with us every Sunday at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. Man, our services are off the chain. I want you to come and experience my powerful teaching on the kingdom of God and enjoy the wonderful community of the saints. You and your family will be tremendously blessed. Join me here at The Rock, 9321 Edgebrook, where we're keeping it on the edge.
Dana Carson Kingdom Ministries.
The preceding broadcast has been brought to you by DCKM Partners, helping people to know God, make Him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Find out more at drdanacarson.org.